Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
We should maybe get to the point on what the hell Police Knots is.
Mankind creates its first space station. They decide to put five policemen up there. One of them is in an accident, never to be found again until his cryo ball, which was with him, is miraculously discovered.
It's all about how a guy from 2010 is struggling to adapt to the year 2040. So he remembers the good old days when everybody smoked cigarettes, like regular old cigarettes, and just puff, puff, puff. These jerk-offs are out here smoking non-combustible cigarettes like wieners.
That's a Kojima character detail right there.
Yeah.
If only he swallowed a carton of cigarettes in 2010 and then regurgitated it in 2045. Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge and lay maintain with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as to Tanga, Cal, and Bobinator, Booker, Hart, and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Hi everyone, you're listening to Hardcore Gaming 101's Top 47K Games, and we are doing episode 211, Ghost Trick Phantom Detective? Is that, that's what I was just confirmed was the name. Thank you. It was nominated to us, I guess on Twitter by @Poopalos_Z. So thanks Poopalos. Poopalos? It's P-double-O-P.
Like, that can't be right, but I can't think of anything else.
Like poop loss? Like, that's not a good... All right, whatever. The game is developed in-house at Capcom, and it was published by Capcom for the Nintendo DS. And then it was later ported to, I think, just, like, mobile devices is the main one.
Yeah.
And it was first released sometime around June 19 in 2010. I'm Carl, and you've heard the murmuring in the background there. A couple other people here today.
I'm Slowbeef.
And I'm Word on the Wind.
And we got a great game here. This one... What is this, this thing, I've always been told... Ah! What?
What?
Isn't it Shu Takami? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, the guy who wrote Phoenix Wright.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, like, this one's tied to Phoenix Wright for some reason, and I wanted to...
It's not really tied to Phoenix Wright, it's just written by the same guy.
There's a dude in a suit who looks suspiciously like Phoenix Wright, and that's like the main.
That's just a cameo.
I know, it's a little cute little cameo. But it's
also
like
a dog named Missile.
Well, that's because his actual dog is a dog is named Missile.
That's also
so he just wanted to put his dog in his games.
It's a great contribution to the game. It's
Missile
really
is a major character in Ghost Trick, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Upgraded from a puzzle utility from Phoenix Wright.
Well, he's still kind of a puzzle utility in this, but...
That's a little different.
I like it. It's pretty clever. So, I guess we should start with the game, why it's called Ghost Trick, why
right.
You're a phantom detective.
I'm going to set the scene.
Okay.
All right, New Jersey Noir, take it away.
You've been murdered.
Oh,
you
God.
You are dying a sharp red suit and a sharp yellow blonde do.
Yellow blonde.
Yellow blonde do. And you meet a voice in a lamp, a possessed lamp, that tells you, I'm sorry, there's no, you're allowed to turn back the threads of fate. You can't save your own life, but you can save the lives of other people and figure out at least who murdered you and, I guess how to haunt them forever. But you're gonna, you've got one night.
Forever out. For exactly like one night.
One night is, that yeah. feels like forever.
It is a long night, but I guess you do go back in time a lot since, yeah, that's the trick is that in order to save people that have died, you get to sort of turn back the clock on their death. The game says 4 minutes, although it plays very fast and loose with what constitutes 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. Since it's just kind of someone sitting on a chair lasts 4 minutes and someone walking across the room lasts 4 minutes. I don't know. It's fine.
yeah. It's 4 minutes by the Super Mario Brothers 1 clock.
I think it's worth mentioning. This game is one of those games that does really well at tone shifting, meaning like it asks you to take it deadly serious. but also, you know, like likes to have like fun, like goofy kind of things.
It's
happen
a
as well.
Weird one. I definitely like the way yeah. it kind of like plays out, and it's like, haha, I died again.
I was just like, about to mention that the character that you see all is like the first time, like they end up dead, and you're like, oh fuck, I can't be having this. And then it's like halfway through the game, they're just dead again. They're just like, ha, I died.
It's very yeah. It's like kind of a gallows humor to it that even in Phoenix yeah. Wright, where they discuss like murder and stuff, isn't quite present. Like it's a bit darker than any of the Ace Attorney games, I think.
I'd say it's kind of like, it goes, like, it's darker, but also lighter, because in Ace Attorney, they're joking around, but they're like, ha ha ha, maybe you'll go to jail for life? Like, there's no, like, backwards, there's no takebacks. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this game, there is actually takebacks, like, the characters do begin to acknowledge, like, well, you know, if I die, you can just save me, right, buddy? And you're like, yeah, I guess. I mean, that's how it works, so... Yes, it makes sense. Whereas obviously Phoenix Wright, the tone is really light, but then there's like a guy who's like, if you don't prove my crime, I'm going to arrest you forever. And it's like, oh, damn, calm. Oh, God, no, this is getting stressful.
It's like, oh, shit, I just walked in and the mob is after my ass.
I would say the game is like, it's very, I think it's very stylish in a good way.
Oh, it's so stylish.
Oh, it is so stylish. Like Detective Carbonara, I think his name is like... I may have gotten his name wrong, but you know what?
It's
his
a
name
C will, and
may
I'm
as well be that if it isn't. And
I think it's Cabranara.
I think that's it, yeah.
Something
he's
like that.
He's wonderful.
Oh, he's like the best character in the game. He like just comes right in and just like does all of these spins and struts. And like it should be noted that this game was like one of the big design points about this was to like show off like the animation performance capable on the DS, which it most definitely did.
In fact, let me tell you, I'm a very big fan of this game, and so much so that I will tell you know, Cal hasn't finished it, and
neither have our listeners. Maybe
Covenant.
Thanks exactly for outing right. me in front of everyone.
No, that's in case yeah. I do want to say that I don't. We're not going to be talking spoilers, and we don't need
no,
to.
not big ones because this game is obviously it's a detective game.
Yeah, of course,
kind
like
of,
the setup,
so,
and I think some of the yeah. beginning stuff's fine. I'm just
yeah,
saying,
like this is a series of mysteries. Like that's the game.
And I think they're all handled fairly well, actually.
Oh, yeah.
You know? There's a lot of really cool stuff in it. It handles plot twists well. It's, like, it's all in all, I think, like, at least from a stylistic point of view, like, before we get to substance, like,
yeah.
pretty much A+, I think.
Yeah, oh, yeah, like, the writing is great, the music is great, the visuals
phenomenal.
Are great.
The music is phenomenal.
Yes. Like, I gotta re-listen to the soundtrack again.
I want to say the music is kind of, so we're gonna compare this a lot to Phoenix Wright, I guess. I think the music is kind of overall better than Phoenix Wright, but it doesn't have one song that's quite as strong as Is It Pursuit? Like, it's a little bit more low-key most of the time.
You're saying Pursuit from, is Pursuit of Phoenix Wright? You mean Cornered?
Yeah, I think it's Cornered. I think it's called, yeah. like, Cornered Pursuit or something. I can never remember the exact name.
Yeah, Cornered is the Objection music.
Dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, the
yeah,
one
it's
that's
like,
the
yeah,
famous
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
like,
Pursuit is like the, cross-examination or something.
Yeah.
So, I would say, though, Ghost Trick has one called Chained Past, which is, like, absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You might have heard it a couple of times, like mid game, but it gets a lot of use as you get into drunk. It's very good. That said, I will say it's not as quite as iconic as, say, like Cornered, but you know.
Yeah, no, it's not as simple, right? It's kind of, it's got like a little bit more going on with the soundtrack. Yeah. And it kind of does, I guess, a bit more, it's not just like a backing, it's like it gets this kind of, it's a little more noir, this game, I guess. Like, it's a little bit more of that sort of, it's setting the scene a lot stronger rather than just kind of beat by beat. It's more, it's atmospheric stuff, but very good. Like, I don't know whether they call them, like, smoking lounges or whatever, like, that sort of jazz lounge kind of.
Yeah, like, every scenario that it presents you with, like, you arrive and you see events unfold, and then you're like, okay, how does this happen? What makes this tick? How do I stop this? And in doing so, what can I learn?
And then, you can only, like, they incorporate the touchscreen in a bit of a clever way, if I remember, because it's like, so you have a spot, and then you drag with the stylus, and you can, like, reach other spots, like, within a certain range.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm describing
it. It's about, like, arm's length.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the way it works, very specifically.
And then you'd, like, come up and then you'd, like, switch the items.
Mm. Yeah, so you can't do anything as a ghost, except basically operate objects, and they're kind of fairly logical. So if there's a blender, you can turn on the blender. If there's a lever or something, you can throw the lever. It's fairly reasonable in most cases. And in order to actually get to the objects, you can't just use your magic floating ghost powers. You don't have those.
Like, you have to be possessing something at all times. You're always anchored to something.
Yeah. So you basically have to, because the game's, it's presented from, I guess I should probably clarify if you've never actually seen the game, it's 2D, it's like side on, and mm-hmm. you just kind of bounce between objects on the screen that are considered possessable. It's a little bit kind of whatever about those. It's, it'll tell you what you can and can't possess.
The rule it establishes is that you can take possession of things that have, you know, that are inanimate, but also like kind of like mobile in some sense. Like, it has to be, like, you know, more than just a brick. It has to be more complicated than, like, a brick.
You can flip a switch or, like, control, like, air, like, blow paper around, like, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, like, the reason I'm clarifying this specifically is, like, you're not allowed to, say, possess someone's shirt. Like, there's a lot of characters that are walking around, and sometimes the puzzles are to maneuver around the environment, but you might not be able to, like, you can't just say, oh, well, they're wearing a shirt, why can't I possess their shirt? Or,
yeah, like, the game does actually establish its rules for what you can and cannot possess.
As I said, it plays a bit loose, but it's a puzzle game, so it doesn't really matter, because it's just kind of like, you can solve it, and that is the intention, so I don't really mind. So you basically quickly get explained the game. It starts with a pretty strong tutorial, which is, you know, nicely kind of done. Maybe a little on the long side, but also, like, it really...
The payoff is really good. You get to Looney Tunes, a motherfucker.
That's the darkness of the game, right? Like, you're busy trying to save people's lives, and then occasionally you just murder someone, and the game is like,
good job!
Fine. Thanks,
like, well done. You did a good.
To be fair, they did deserve it, but...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's where the game kind of goes. Also, because they're blue, so obviously not people.
My FF14 Mikote objects.
I mean, like, right, like, I just wanted to point this out. Like, this is one of those weird games that color codes people, but, like, for some, I think they're meant to be foreigners or something, maybe? I can't quite recall, but, like, the villains in this, several of them are blue, and nobody seems to care, and they acknowledge that they're blue, and they're like, well, I don't know about these blue people, and they're, like, clearly the villains, and it's like, huh. That's weird, isn't it? What is his name? Is it Skeeter? He's going to have a problem with this game. From Doug?
Help me out show here. That I like that no one else does.
I don't like Doug. I do like this game.
Doug gets a bad rap.
Well, maybe. So the thing about this game is it manages to kind of smartly step outside of its core idea, because not only do you save people from being killed... you still have to often maneuver around levels, even if it's not they've just died puzzle. So you actually move through the world in a real-time way, using telephones. You jump between different areas.
Yeah, you can transmit yourself along phone lines.
And so often the game's constantly unraveling its story in front of you, and it's not always you viewing things in retrospect. Sometimes you'll just see things in real time or move through environments in real time, essentially. So there's a nice mix of puzzles. So it doesn't... They get a lot of mileage out of the puzzles. I was surprised to an extent. I thought that it might become a bit one note, but they do get more out of it, especially since you don't have an inventory in this one.
Yeah. I do like the puzzles. I think they're like all fun, and I don't think they get particularly frustrating. They're not particularly difficult either, you know, because there's only so much you can do.
But... Yeah, they give you like a limited set of things that you can do per puzzle, and it's really more about figuring out maybe the timing or potentially how to get somewhere.
Yeah, it's usually like pretty clear what it is that you need to do. It's more a matter of figuring out how the hell you get there to do it.
The game's really enthusiastic. I would say, to an extent, too enthusiastic about telling you what you need to do sometimes. It kind of feels like an annoying or a pain in the ass friend who's finished the game sitting behind you, like yelling at you what to do even before it's kind of finished the cutscene. Because, especially early on, but that's okay, because obviously you're supposed to have a little bit of help. But characters will basically point out, like, important things to you. Potentially before you've even had time to look at the scene, like, you know, it's just happened, and the character will be like, hey, what about that object? Did you notice that? And you know, just like, yeah, I noticed that. I was getting to that. Come on, like, let me get into the game. It doesn't really trust you too much to just let you try and figure it out. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It really depends. Especially if you do lose a segment, so a character dies, and then you have to reset the time. Because the person you're trying to save, you're in their brain, kind of, so they often will talk to you, which is great when it's Missile the dog, because then Missile chimes in on all of the things that he's busy doing, which is really fun.
I'm a top Pomeranian!
I really like his, like, just chirpy attitude, I always bark at that thing, I'm gonna get it! And like, Missile's like, so, could you like, not?
For those who don't know, like, I have a dog trauma and a very strong dislike of dogs, like, really, really strong. I can't dislike Missile. Missile is that good.
I'm very enthusiastic. I really like that's the thing is, like, the game constantly keeps its charm pumping at you, which is really great. Like, characters, you don't solve the puzzle in isolation, as I said. You've always got a character kind of sitting on your shoulder, like, remarking on what's going on.
It's basically, like, whoever just died, and it's like you're able to, like, tag them, kind of like how you got tagged in the beginning, and that, like, kind of makes them wake up as a spirit. And, like, they generally don't know kind of exactly what's going on for the most part, and, like, you just kind of have to, like, figure out, like, what they know and how they, like, got into the situation.
Ghosts lose all their memories. That's a key part of the game.
Yeah, like, there's amnesia going on after, like, initial death.
Like, they won't recognize their own dead body sometimes. It's, like, kind of a variable thing. Like,
It is a variable thing. Like, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Repeated ghosts tend to be adapt better.
What's that? Repeated ghosts? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I died again!
Okay, I remember what's going on this time. How you saving me? Yeah.
How you doing?
Totally. I tons of charm, all that stuff. So we haven't ever ranked a Phoenix Wright game.
No, and that's good. A shame, because I would just play the game again, because I like them all. It's great. Pretty great.
I like them, and I have strong opinions on them. But let's not get too into it, because it'll probably derail extremely, but what do you think of this versus Phoenix Wright?
That's a tough question.
I would say, honestly, this has enough charm, at the very least, maybe as, like, not to derail us too hard, like, it's got enough charm that this absolutely stands on its own.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I didn't even know this was made by the Phoenix Wright guy until I learned about that after the matter. I just kind of, like, ran into Missile, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say, because this one does approach from a different angle, I think Phoenix Wright has some environmental sort of puzzles, but this one's puzzles are, I would say, a lot better in most regards.
Yeah, this is puzzles about the environment, whereas, like, Phoenix Wright is centered on puzzles about people and their quirks and their speech.
Like, Phoenix Wright, I've got to say, like, the better of Phoenix Wright feels a little stronger, but that's also because that game is basically all writing, so it kind of gets to just cruise by.
I'm going to say this, right? Phoenix Wright, when Phoenix Wright stumbles, it stumbles really hard, and I'm specifically thinking of the circus case, meaning
yeah, number two is the go-to egregious example.
Yeah, but before you think I'm being too unfair, because that is universally right. It exemplifies the problem with Phoenix Wright is that there's a lot of times you're like, I know what I'm trying to say,
yes,
but I have to do it just the way they want me to, and it's frustrating.
It's no freeform.
Yeah, and sometimes it even is just like, I have the evidence over here. I know how to solve the case. That kind of thing. I don't think Ghost Trick has that problem. It might be just a little more like, it might just be like sort of a general, what am I supposed to do here?
It's kind of like the same idea, just presented visually as opposed to dialogue-wise. Like, you know, you have like, as Kyle was mentioning, it's like, you've got the puzzles where, like, they call out the thing, and you know what you need to do with it. You just got to figure out how you get over to do it. And, like, when it's a conversation, like in Phoenix Wright, and you're just like, let me just get to the end because I know what I need to do, that's, you know, that's a bit more of a drag. Whereas it's it's like a matter of like, okay, I gotta get to this step, I gotta get this step and this step, and it's a little more on the satisfying side.
Well, this game, obviously, in Phoenix Wright, they're both detective-y kind of games. In Phoenix Wright, you don't necessarily know what actually happened. Like, even if you, the player, are a galaxy brain that figured out the case before the game tells you, which I don't believe you, by the way.
Yeah, that's like the same kind of thing as saying, it's like, oh yeah, I know who the Watchers are in Drakengard, despite having never played, seen, or heard anyone talk about it. And it's just like, you are a damn liar.
Yeah, you're a liar. But, you know, like, Phoenix Wright, you do kind of, the game unravels. You're like, the cool thing about that one is you don't know what's going on. Phoenix doesn't know what's going on. And you're together while you're playing the game, you're just fumbling with evidence and ideas like, maybe this thing. And then Phoenix is like, this thing, and you're just like, and then the judge is like, how does that thing mean anything? And then you kind of fumble with it, and you kind of figure out, along with the game, what's going on. Whereas this one, when you're solving the individual moments, or cases, or crimes, or whatever, you're told straight up what happens. Your goal is to reverse it, and basically unsolve the crime, like, basically make the crime not happen, which, kind of
the game does play
with
that, though, because there are some points where, like, you can go down, like, a path that you're not supposed to, but that teaches you other things about, like, the events of the evening, about, like, you know, like, what, like, the bigger picture is going on.
Well, that's the other thing about this one, is it is, and this is what I think Sylvie was sort of mentioning briefly, was, this game doesn't punish you for not doing exactly what it wants you to do in the exact right order, between... sometimes you can actually bounce between different objects. There's a specific puzzle I'm thinking of involving a spoon. There's a spoon involved. And the spoon is really important to solving the puzzle, but if you time it wrong, you can actually still solve the puzzle, even though the timing of the puzzle seems to suggest you need to solve it in one specific way. But if you mess up your timing, you can still kind of fudge it. And there's another parts where... yeah, you can basically go in the wrong direction, or sometimes the phone rings and you can chase the phone call and the game will be like, I can't do anything. You're trapped in this place. But you will learn other things. And I think that does kind of make it feel a little bit more like playing a game and less kind of playing the visual novel, which is Phoenix Wright is just kind of a visual novel with game over screens in many ways.
Yeah, it's a visual novel that hides the fact that it's a visual novel very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's good. I do think that we'll touch briefly on, unfortunately, because this one does have more gameplay, you do have to do everything in kind of semi-real time, which means that if you're solving a puzzle, when you fail out of the puzzle, you do have to sometimes repeat a decent amount of the puzzle, especially
you
for
have
some
to
of
start
the
again.
Cases. Yeah.
That being said, while this does play out in real-ish time, you can stop time at any point to think about things to, like, make, like, an action, to take an action.
I mean, it also works really... They want to keep it kind of realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think that they also kind of, like, they psych you out when they kind of... You've got, like, these things, you have to do something at, like, the last second, and it even starts, like, a death timer. It's like, you're gonna die in 3, 2, 1, and so you're like freezing time, using your ghost powers to jump around. You're like, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god. And even though you're like, you kind of know what you're doing, you're still like, you're under that pressure. And you're like, oh no, 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 no. And then you solve it. You feel pretty great because you're kind of like, you get in there. I don't think there's kind of a, obviously, I don't know how much I get to keep referring to Phoenix Wright. There's not necessarily a eureka moment as much in this game, since a lot of the puzzles are, you know, you solve the little bits and pieces and it kind of falls into place in some regards. So you're just like, aha, I solved it. But I also like that because of the nature of these puzzles, they don't rely on any sort of This is a big problem with Phoenix Wright. Sometimes Phoenix Wright makes you, like, basically, like you need to, like, circus trivia or something. Like, you need to know really specific stuff that you may not even know. And the game just kind of expects you to be able to figure out, like, a contradiction or something, which may not make any sense to you. Whereas this sort of Ruben Goldberg kind of, like, just domino effect machine that, like, that somehow kills people, that is something that you can kind of solve without much extra knowledge outside of the game at all. Like,
it's much more kinetic in practice as opposed to just, like, you know, degrees of information that, you know, it expects you to have, whether you it has reason to have given you the information or not.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, and love the style, the sprite art or whatever it is amazing.
I think it is 3D, right? Like, it is a 2D plane, but it looks like a 3D.
I thought it was like 3D that had been rendered out, and then
I think it's the render, because if I recall correctly, this thing has, like, the advertisements for, like, the same kind of advertisement, the credit for the same like video codec that they used for like
there's pre-rendered stuff, but I mean the actual sprites, like, are, or the actual, like, characters are 3D models that
are they, like, 3D models in real time in the game?
Maybe not.
I think the codec thing's different, though. I think it's the Falcom thing, where they just, like, render the things and then just make sprites of them.
I thought that was what they were doing. Because sometimes it kind of looks a little weird, like, when they pick up an object, and the object is not as well animated, so it just kind of looks a bit off. But only a little bit. It doesn't really matter, because all the stuff is... I smile at just about every animation in this game. Like, the two prison guards, you know, the ones... they're in the prison, and one of them, like, he gets annoyed, and he's like, "Ah!" And he spins around on his chair.
Yep.
I love that animation of him spinning on his chair. It's like, I don't believe this, and he spins around, and then he's like, "Ah!"
And like, on the subject of spinning, like, no one's going to forget Cabanella's introductions ever.
He just kicks the air, spins around, everything.
Like, I've just been watching a GIF of it for this entire conversation.
It really is very cool, especially, like, I think this game just, it's kind of shocking to play on the DS in some ways, because it's just kind of showing off in a way that I don't really, like, it's just got so much style to the, like, the backgrounds look really good, don't get me wrong, they're great, and then the 3D sprite things just are so smooth, it just feels, like, way more expensive than I would usually expect any game to feel, like, I don't really know many games, because usually... there's this weird overproduced value to games that have really well-animated sprites. You kind of know it if you see it, where it's like, oh, that's smooth, but it doesn't feel necessary. Whereas the way this game just kind of presents itself, it just feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hard to describe without kind of, like, seeing it in emotion, but it's just like, oh, this totally suits this game. Like, it just,
like, if you want an example of it, just do an internet search for Cabanella Dance, and you'll get exactly what you need.
Like, because the game just feels so lively, which is definitely, considering that, you know, Phoenix Wright...
That's a good juxtaposition, considering you're dead.
Yeah. You spend a lot of the game dead. I really like the whole... Everything about it is really good. Like, I cannot think of a way that you would make this better without making it maybe worse as well. Like, that's a tough thing to land.
Yeah, like, the big flaw with this game is that all of the puzzles basically come down to trial and error, because there are some puzzles where it's like, oh, you think you're supposed to do this, but you're actually supposed to do this.
I don't know if I agree with that, I gotta be honest with you. I just played through this again recently with a friend of mine, and he got most of them. Like,
yeah, I think there's only, like, there's one bit where it's not a save someone from death puzzle as much as prevent someone from dying puzzle that... it was a bit of a frustrating segment for me. I'll just say it's the stealth segment, because there is one in there. That was a little bit where I felt like, oh, okay, so the game's kind of tricking me a little bit, and I'm supposed to do something different, and I had to kind of think around what it was trying to say. But I think most of the time, if it tries to fool you with the wrong solution, it does it pretty early, like when you need to maybe move an object across the screen or something, and so it'll make it look like you can just use this object, and when you use it, it'll clearly fail, and your character will be like, oh, crap, that didn't work. And then usually the ghost person, the dead person, will be like, you know, maybe it needed to be this, and then you kind of, like, it just gives you hints. Like, the game is addicted to giving you hints, in the way that Phoenix Wright is not. Oh, so many times you're playing Phoenix Wright, and I'm like, what the hell do I do? And I'm like, I look at Maya or whatever. I'm like, Maya, help me out here. What do I do? And she's like, I don't know, Phoenix. Like,
let me summon a better character to actually solve the problem.
Yeah, like, help me out. But it's like, nope. Also, you've only got one guess left because you're out of life. And I'm like, God damn it, Phoenix, right? Come on.
That's always the thing that bugged me about that game. Like, that fucking, like, how many murders have I solved in your own damn courtroom? Right? And you're going to do this to me? Like, it's all like, right.
It's like, Phoenix, I'm sick of your bullshit, Phoenix.
I know.
Judge, you've tried to convict like 7 innocent people on my watch.
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
You only get right, one piece,
Judge,
of evidence.
I know what you really want. Maya, summon your sister. She's what we're all here for. Because she's the one who actually does things.
I mean, I do like Phoenix Wright in that everyone hates Phoenix in this weird way. Like, I don't know why they just kick dirt in Phoenix's face all the time, but they just do.
It's his hair.
I think it's some sort of like, he's a defense attorney, so let's hate on him because he's defending criminals or something. Like, I think there's an aspect of that that's going on there. I like this game in the sense that the character you play as, it's very upbeat, quite cheery, not really an underdog. Like, I like that.
And he just died.
Yeah, he's like kind of upbeat about it. He's not like, oh, I'm going to die, or like, oh, I'm dead. He's like, all right, I'm dead. Let's go solve my crime. Like, all right, here we go.
All right, I'm dead. But I don't remember how or why or anything about me. I'd like to know that. Let's get this done with and have some fun.
And also, like, you know, like the characters he deals with, some of them are like, look, I don't think I can help you. I'm sorry. And he's like, okay, that's fine. Look, it's okay. I'll help you anyway. I'm just a nice guy. I'll do it anyway. Maybe it'll work out. So I know, like, it fits into that. This game is so surprisingly upbeat for a game that is basically, you're dead, everyone else gets killed, there's a horrible conspiracy going on with, like, lots of murder, and it's like, it's lighthearted at the same time. It's so weird.
It's a spectacle to look back at the end of the game at all the stuff that you did and think about how this night would have played out if you didn't do anything. Like, it is an immensely depressing thought.
I really like the way the game's over. We'll rank it in just a moment. I just really like the way the game does do a really great job of kind of feeding you a short-term mystery that you want to solve, a, like, somewhat in the future mystery that you're progressing on, and kind of having its overall, like, what actually happened sitting in the distance. Like, it does a really good job of giving you stuff to aim for and keep feeding you, like, information and twists and turns, and you just keep pouring through it. Like, you will be like, okay, what's happening next? I gotta get through this. I really want to play this. You'll be like, all right, you know, 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes. I reckon I can solve this puzzle. I'm gonna keep going. And that to me, that means that you got a great, like, thing going on, and you really want to know what's going on, yeah. And it doesn't feel unpleasant to dig through.
Yeah, like, going back to the earlier conversation about how does this compare to Phoenix Wright, I agree with, like, when Phoenix Wright is riding high, it's better than this game, but when it's riding low, this game stands tall above it. I would say that, like, if you were to put things on, like on a 10-point scale with, you know, Phoenix Wright's best being a 10 and its low point, you know, being, you know, a 5, I would put this at, you know, like an 8.5.
Okay.
I like that because it's just like, you sound like really less than impressed. Slowby, where would you put this game? Have you got a list
on
open?
That weird scale of 5 to 10?
No, not the scale of 5 to 10. Which, by the way, like, the worst of the worst Phoenix Wright is like a 3 out of 10. Like, I don't know whether I would consider the circus case or the bonus case of the first game in the DS, but one of those two moments is just a horrible.
I don't know if you... I kind of like the bonus. Whatever.
I like the fifth case,
but it's kind of bullshit. Okay, nothing's as bullshit as the third case of the fourth game. I like the fourth game, but boy, that one is bullshit.
I honestly forget that one, but we'll talk... Wait.
It involves a Magnum.
So here's the deal, alright?
Alright!
Alright, Cal, you're gonna have to take it on faith. There's some really cool twists coming your way.
Yes.
I believe you.
Alright.
And confirm.
I have to be honest, I really do love this game. I have a high ranking for it. Not okay. Like crazy. We're not going for number one or anything like that. I'll level set here. You tell me if you think I'm just out of my element.
Probably don't.
I'm just thinking maybe 39.
Okay.
Like, right above Donkey Kong for Game Boy.
So
or you think that's
what I had been thinking, like, up to this point, was simply that when I think about this game, when I try and compare this game to games in general, I can't think of a reason not to recommend it. Like, if someone was like, should I play this game? I would just be like, yes. Like, there's no... Like, even if they're like, I hate reading, I hate puzzles, I'd be like...
I hate Cognizance.
I still think you should play it, because you might still like it, because it's really good.
I think, therefore I grump.
Like, and it's like, I'm thinking of, like, the DS library and stuff, I'm like, this is probably, like, if you had to, like, if you gave me a list of DS games to play, I'd be like, play Ghost Trick. Like, it would be there at, like, the top of the play this game, because... It's so good.
It's definitely one of the DS's best entries overall.
For sure.
Yeah, like, what I'd been thinking about, I'd been comparing this one in my mind, because it's the only one that I got on the list here that's the same general color. I was comparing it to Steins Gate, you know, the visual novel. It's actually pretty much a visual novel.
Where do you have Steins
Gate? Steins Gate is 28. I don't think it's necessarily better than Steins Gate, but I'd been thinking, like, comparably, it's still pretty dang great, so I've got... Actually, very little wrong with around 39, to be honest.
No, honestly, though, I mean, well, now that we're getting there, I mean, I do love Steins Gate, I will say, but I do like Ghost Trick better. That said, I'm looking at some of the stuff here, like Final Fantasy VI and like Cave Story and all that. So
I know, like it's a packed. The high numbers are packed with games that you just kind of got to sweat between here. Like,
Word, what do you think?
So, I've never played Steins Gate, so I cannot use that as a point of metric. I'm definitely not objecting to putting it into these upper echelons, however, because it's just like, yeah, this game is definitely worth playing. You know, if you are going to be, like, doing it through emulation, do it through emulation. If you're going to do it through mobile, do it through mobile. Just play this fucking game. Like, you
owe it to
yourself.
I think mobile game's a really solid port. I think it might lose a tiny bit from not having two screens, but certainly it's probably better than trying to play it on a computer using, like, a weird mouse dual-screen interface. It does...
I mean, that's how I played it. I didn't have a problem with it.
I played it both ways.
You can actually play it with just
like
the
only way I would say like play it on the DS over the mobile would just be like the sheer fact that, you know, they crammed this beautiful animation into the DS is, you know, a very strong technical achievement, and that kind of gets lost on modern mobile. But that's
well, also,
you
know,
that's
not
really much.
Play it on the
that's
DS.
Not much.
If
that's
you
not
play
really
it on mobile. You've got to.
Yeah, it's like if that's your option, that's your option. You know, that's like that's not a knock against the game. It's just like if you were to do it on the original hardware, you know, it's slightly more impressive. Kind of like the first person dungeons in the original Phantasy Star.
I'm very impressed by both of those things. So you didn't give us a number, but I don't really mind.
I'm not disagreeing with the range of 28 to 39.
Like, I think that the one problem with this game, the one problem. And this just hits our upper end of the list problem, is it didn't really... It more petered out than anything. Like, it... Just, yeah, this game didn't do all that well, did it? It's such a shame.
Like,
it came too
late. I think
late.
The game itself did well. It just never really went anywhere.
Like, I mean, as far as I know, it doesn't really try and go somewhere else, right? Like, it's a self-contained game that kind of... that ends, and then you don't need another one. It's not like Phoenix, where they're like, we could totally make a Phoenix Wright, but all the puzzles are disconnected and it's terrible. Like, you could do that. That's fine. That's Phoenix Wright 2, the other one.
Justice for no one.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, like, while influence is one factor, and part of the conceit also of the podcast that it's...
What? No, it's all real.
It's all real. No, the conceit, meaning, like, you know, we're judging this objectively. It's also to, like, get people to want to play these games as
yes,
well, right?
That's why I'm very happy putting it high, actually.
Yeah, me play. Too. I think it's fun. I think it's worth it. I'm honestly, like, if we went to 39, I'd be happy. If we went up higher, I'd be happy, too. I don't know. I mean, we could even...
I'm basically reading these very, you know... We got, good old Toe Jam and Earl at 36. Thanks, Toe Jam and Earl. What if, I love...
For the record, I'm looking over here at Wikipedia, which actually has, like, citations for, like, its critical reception. Ghost Trick was the best-selling DS game in Japan during its release week at 24,000 copies.
Good work, Ghost Trick. I bet it sold, like, 8 copies outside of Japan. It came out quite late in the DS's lifespan, so I think people kind of were slightly moving on from the DS at that point. So it kind of didn't get a strong reception. I guess I don't really want to put it above Chrono Trigger at 37. If push comes to shove,
I would definitely put this over Chrono Trigger.
I know, but I'm saying that from this perspective. Shinobi 3, really like Shinobi 3. It's a phenomenal game. And then 39 is Donkey Kong on the Game Boy, which is another handheld game. I'm trying to think if I like this better or not than Donkey Kong.
I think the spot that I would put it would be 31, and displacing Myst.
I can't displace Myst.
Which Xerxes noted down as Myst, the prequel to Riven.
It is indeed. All right.
Certainly. Yeah, all right. Okay. Yep.
No, I was just like, all right, I'm still fine with 39. Or was it? Yeah, 39. That's above Donkey Kong, isn't it?
Yeah, that sure. would displace Donkey Kong.
Okay. Let's do that.
Get the hell with Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong! Forget Donkey Kong. It's time for Ghost Trick.
Donkey Kong died. We're not saving Donkey Kong. I mean, the character, yes, but the
Mario game. Got hit with a barrel. I died again.
All right, we'll just do it. We're doing that. We're locking it in. It's going above Donkey Kong and below Shinobi 3. Return of the Ninja Master. Is that Return of the Ninja Master? Yeah, that is Return of the Ninja Master. So Ghost Trick, Phantom Detective. If you haven't played it, you just should. There's no reason really not to play it. There's no justifiable reason.
It's pretty great. Yeah, you're definitely missing out. Like,
it's not even like that long, right? Like, you can get it. It doesn't balloon out. It's a well-paced game.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It introduces new mechanics when it needs to. It's good stuff. Absolutely, but you'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our theme song MC Norm. Check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter. And our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter, Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know, I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GCNRX and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HD Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.